Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
First of all, cast your mind back to when you were a child. Did you have a secret club with your friends? Did you have secret passwords and secret knocks on the door? You know, if you had a cubby house and codes, did you write secret codes? Well, I did. We lived near a forest, like a bush area of bushland. And it was perfectly safe in those days for kids to ride their bikes around. There was no horrible stuff happening. And so we built cubby houses in this bush and we had secret codes. We actually wrote invisible writing on to each other, invisible notes to each other with lemon juice. Have you ever heard of that? We stuck a little stick in lemon juice, wrote the letter to our friends and then let it dry. Then the only way they could read it was to iron it. So they had to get their mum to turn on the iron and it comes up. Very clever. And my dad made a beautiful wooden box with one of those latches on and a padlock. And in those days, they weren't the push button padlocks. They had a key. And only the special people had a key to that padlock, and we'd store all our treasures in that place. So did you know that God has a secret hiding place just for you and Him? Alone. He's prepared it just for you. It's unique for the two of you. And it's a place of protection, of hiddenness, away from the noise and the clamour of our lives. Oh, we're just so bombarded, aren't we, every moment of every day with stuff, demands. And this place is a place of intimacy, it's a place of fellowship, and it's a place of safety. And I remember years ago we went to America for several months to spend time in a prayer house. And I'll never forget, as I first entered that room, the building for the first time, the Lord said to me, "Oh, I've waited such a long time to have you all to myself." And I was shocked. I thought, "Lord, I've been a Christian all my life just about. I've served you and laid down my life, so to speak, sacrificed and been faithful." But I realised, though, that He said, "As much as I value your service, Alison, and you've been very faithful, I long for your undistracted devotion." Yeah, my whole heart, my focus, my total surrender. Yeah, and during that season, God opened up the power of the secret place to me. And I want to share some of those secrets with you today. Isaiah 45:3 says, "I will give you treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, so that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by name, am the God of Israel." So would you like to meet with a friend if you knew that they were going to give you treasures every day of your life? You would, wouldn't you? If they promised to give you something that you really needed, you'd be there in a shot, spending time with them, getting to know them. Well, that's exactly what Father God has promised you guys. Absolutely. And these are treasures that moth or rust can't destroy. Thieves cannot break in and steal. These are eternal treasures. Psalm 91 gives us insight into this secret place and the treasures that await us. Verses 1 to 2 say, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust." And that word dwell literally means to sit down and remain. It's not visiting, it's sitting down and remaining. And it's coming close to God with no agenda. It's just to be with Him. And this dwelling is the first step in abiding. So once we make that decision to stay in the presence of God, we then lodge, stay, remain, abide under the shadow of his protection. He brings that over us. And then from that place of intimacy, we can then declare in faith, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. So we declare and pray from that place of intimacy in the secret place. Now, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and in Psalm 91, that word for secret place is satar. And many translations render that shelter, covering, hiding place, secrecy, or secret place. But what kind of a shelter are we talking about? What or where is this shelter? And what happens in this shelter? And more importantly, how do we get there? So the Hebrew word satar, secrecy, secret place, may well define itself. It has three letters, and it's spelled samak, tav, and resh. And in the Hebrew, it's read from right to left. So hopefully you can see that graphic up there. So the first treasure that we find in the secret place comes from that first letter, the samek, on the right-hand side. And it answers the question, where is this place? So if you look at the samek, it's like a little rounded vessel with a lid. And it represents the heart of God. So when you climb, when you crawl into that beautiful space of the heart of God, he places his cover over you and you are protected. And this is a place of deep, deep peace. He wants you to feel totally at home in this place, a set-apart place to abide. And King David knew the power of being hidden in the secret place. When he was running from Saul over many, many years, he knew that he could go into that place. Psalm 27:5, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. He, in the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And Psalm 31:19-20, you shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of men. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. How often do we want to be protected from the strife of tongues that are around us in this age? Here it is. Here's that place of protection. And Psalm 32:7 says, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Beautiful. So what does it actually mean to abide in the heart of God, to live in that place? How do you get to know the heart of the people that you love? You spend time, don't you? Imagine a married couple. How on earth are they ever going to get to know each other if they don't ever spend time together? You share, you talk, you listen, you do work on projects together, you encourage, you help one another. And love grows as you spend time. There's no shortcuts. It's the same with God. We know a lot about God, don't we? We've heard about his ways, his love, his promises, his kingdom. We've heard messages describing what God is like. But do we really, really know him for ourselves? Or are we living off secondhand information? One day Jesus' words in John 10:14 cut me to the core. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Now, whoa, that is deep. That is deep knowing. And I knew that Jesus knew me through and through, but I certainly did not know him that deeply. And that conviction set me off on a search, which continues to this day. And I want to know this God, as Joy Dawson once proclaimed. She was an amazing missionary. She impacted thousands of people all over the earth. And she wrote books on intercession. She was a teacher and a preacher. And she made this incredible declaration. I'm going to read it to you. God is supreme in authority, dazzling in his beauty, flawless in his character, ingenious in his creativity, calmness in his existence. He is the most exciting person in the universe. He's unswerving in his faithfulness, matchless in his grace, blazing in his glory, unparalleled in his greatness, awesome in his holiness, incomprehensible in his humility. He is the author of humour, the ultimate in intensity, absolute in his justice, infinite in his knowledge and wisdom, unfathomable in his love. He's the foundation of life. He is unending in his mercy. He has totality of ownership. He is limitless in his power. He is fascinating in his personality, majestic in his splendor, unquestionable in his sovereignty, indescribable in his tenderness. He is the personification of truth, unsearchable in understanding, terrible in wrath. He has an eternal, indestructible kingdom. He is the ruling, reigning monarch of the universe. He is King God, the lover of my soul, the one who has totally captivated me, the only one who can totally fulfill me, and he has ruined me for the ordinary. And that little phrase, ruined me for the ordinary, has been her catch cry, really, over the years. Yeah, what a stunning declaration. Do you know God this way? Wow, I want to. I really want to be able to make those declarations for myself. Now, for me, there's no better place than being in the secret place with Jesus, with Holy Spirit, with the Father, with all of them. And I go there to build relationship, not just to give my requests to him. It's when I am still and know that he is God. And remember how Jesus commended Mary for just sitting at his feet and hearing his word. Do you know that God is calling each one of you into the secret place? About a year ago, the Lord told Michael to have a three-day retreat down at this little beachside place that we go to quite often. And I said, oh, can't I come? I mean, I'll give you plenty of time with God. I'll go off and do my own thing. But there's so many lovely walks. There's lovely cafes to go to. Can't I come? No. No, God said, I want Michael all to myself. Yeah, he did. He did. Because as soon as we let someone else in there, you know, there's distraction. Did you realise that the Song of Songs is a passionate love story about Jesus and his bride? It's absolutely beautiful. And in that, in chapter 2, verse 14, he says, oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff. There it is, secrecy again. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Now, guys, this is not just talking to women here. You get it, don't you? You're also the bride of Christ. Okay. So why do we spend so much time hiding from God? He doesn't want us to hide and feel unworthy and nervous and disconnected. No, he wants you to draw near. As soon as you draw near, he is right there. This is how Jesus feels about you. He doesn't want you to hide from him. He wants you to hide with him. Yeah. Makes all the difference, doesn't it? So Jesus taught not only is a secret place in a place in the heart of God, a spiritual place, it's also a real place in the natural. Jesus said it's a room. In Matthew 6:6, he says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So your Father's already there. He's waiting for you. Okay, he's waiting for you. It's a guarantee. There's no need to plead or feel unworthy or be nervous about meeting him. He's already there, just waiting for you. And we know that Jesus often escaped to that secret place, didn't he? He got up early in the morning. He went to the mountains just to be with his Father. And the disciples knew, they saw Jesus' public ministry as being fruit of that personal relationship, that time with the Father. Now, he wants the same with us. He wants our lives to so demonstrate that we have been with Jesus. As the Pharisees said about the disciples, they've been with Jesus. They could see the marks on them. Do people see that in us? So are you prepared to make a time every day to meet with the Father in a secret place? Are you willing to sacrifice time? Get up half an hour earlier. Choose a space, shut the door, and open your Bible. First, we sit and listen, then we go and do. And Jesus says to shut the door. Now, that's very significant, isn't it? Because it means to shut out distractions. We shut the door to that secret place to tune in to the one voice that really matters. Because we're the most distracted generation in history, aren't we? We are constantly bombarded with emails, with texts, with whatever, schedules, meetings, the whole bit, let alone social media. I mean, how many hours do we spend scrolling? And our life just disappears. And we actually risk missing the very call of God on our lives because we're being so distracted with other far less important things. Starting your day with your Bible instead of your phone will change your life. Did you realise that? It will. So where is your secret place where you can focus in and shut out distractions? It might be walking along the beach in the cool of the morning. It might be watching your sunset every night in your favourite spot. It might be curled up in a chair by the fire. Sorry, but it's not while driving your car. Sorry. Now, Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley, two amazing, famous men of God, she had 10 very active children running around her skirts all day long. Now, where do you think she would find a secret place? You'd think, no way. There's no way a busy mother could possibly do that. Well, her solution was to find her favourite chair, grab her Bible, and in those days, of course, they wore long dresses, so she had a very long apron, and she would pull that apron up over her head, and it formed like a little tent, like a tent of meeting. And in that place, she met with God, and she devoured the Bible, and she interceded for her family. And everyone in the family knew not to disturb Mum when she was in that tent, unless it was urgent, obviously. And she did this for 2 hours every day. Whoa! And the fruit, not only did she write heaps of books, but John and Charles Wesley impacted millions of people all over the world. So there's always a way of finding a secret place. You might be thinking, well, my schedule is so jam-packed. How can I possibly find the time? Have you ever asked Jesus? Don't you think, because he loves you so passionately, don't you think he would show you when the best time for you would be? Yes, he will. Yeah. And one day when I was in my secret place, I was just overcome with God's heart for his people, you and I. It was such a deep longing. It was a yearning. It was a crying out for intimacy and connection with us. He said he was starving for time with us. He was yearning for deep fellowship. Not just meeting with us to hear our requests and then he sees us get up and get on with our day. He said, he told me, I want them to know that the secret place is a real place. It's real. He wants you to go there. But busyness and distraction was just starving our time with God. He wanted us to experience so much more. So the only sure way of staying white hot for God is devoting yourself to the place of the shut door. Now, the second treasure is the next letter in that word shelter, and it's tav. And it answers the question, what is waiting there for us? Now, the very ancient origin of that second letter there is a picture of crossed sticks. Crossed sticks, right? So God, in his wisdom, planted a picture of the cross in the Hebrew language right from way, way back, centuries ago, when it first was written. He put the cross there. Now, isn't that I find that amazing. And this letter, the tav, means mark, signal, sign, covenant. Amazing. And the cross is the most profound sign in the entire universe, isn't it? And the tav represents the truth of God, the knowledge of God, and his guidance. In Colossians 2:2-3, all the treasures of wisdom and wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus and the Father. So as we read the Bible and study his word in the secret place, we discover those treasures and we know and understand his bigger plans. Many of you know we've been involved in a marriage ministry for many years. And in the beginning, we'd been faithfully leading groups and just seeing God do miracles in marriages and families. The generations were being healed. And so we'd been in it for a few years. And one day in the secret place, the Lord said to me, I want you and Michael to go to Zambia and do a marriage seminar to the people at the Christian University there. And I said, I beg your pardon. I did not believe what I was hearing. I really didn't. It was totally out of the blue. We already had relationship with the people who ran this university. But, you see, if I hadn't have developed a relationship with the Lord in the secret place, I would have just passed it off. I wouldn't. Oh, that's crazy. Absolutely crazy. No, so we went there and it was the most amazing time. We really, the people at the uni were so gobsmacked with the insights about Christian marriage because they didn't talk about that stuff in church. We got down to some really nitty-gritty stuff and they so appreciated it. But as well as that, we set up connections with other couples who were able to plant the ministry in that part of Zambia. So it was a huge, huge blessing. But as well as that, God always does more, doesn't he? As well as that, he added Mauritius to that trip because Mauritius is just off the coast of Africa and we knew a couple who ran a church there and God said, you've got to do the seminars there as well. Oh, okay. So we did and over the next year, we were able to plant the ministry in Mauritius as well. So just from that one little conversation in the secret place, so many couples were set free and healed and blessed as a result. I could have easily said no. He hadn't spoken to Michael about it. Daniel 11:32-33 said, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And those of the people who understand will instruct many. That's really interesting, isn't it? Daniel 2:21-22 says, he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what's in the darkness and light dwells with him. And Jesus warned that in the end times, there'd be a lot of deception. Matthew 24:24 says, false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. We're the elect. We don't want to be deceived. So it's that intimate time of relationship with God. You can learn to discern truth from error. It's so important. So important. He wants to bring us into his heart, into his purposes, and from that place release the word of God into situations and people. And as you read Psalm 91 in more detail, you'll see that we're promised so much. We're promised protection from terrors, from plagues, from evil. We're given great authority over demonic attack. He promises to set us on high, to answer our prayers, to be with us in trouble, and show us his salvation. But all these promises are conditional upon abiding. It really is. It's conditional upon abiding. And storms expose what we're actually dwelling in, don't they? Are we dwelling in the anxiety of shifting circumstances around us or the catastrophic news of the day? That's easy to do. Will the challenges and crises in our life shift our heart from visiting God to dwelling with Him in deep communion? And of course, Jesus said there are rewards in the secret place. God who sees will reward you openly. So we can know that we will have answers to our prayers, which other people will see. They're the rewards, and the world will see that God is real through our lives. And then finally, just quickly, the third treasure that we find is in the word sitar, is the letter resh. And that is a picture of a bowed head. It's a picture of a man bowing his head in service to God. And Jesus came in humility, didn't he, to serve us. And we enter the secret place of God's heart by the blood of Jesus when we humble ourselves in repentance. Jesus is our most valuable treasure. He gives us his life. He died in our place so that we could be forgiven. So we come into the secret place with such thankful hearts, with hungry hearts, with teachable hearts, with a sense of awe and wonder at the majesty of God and the fact that he wants to talk to us. Listening is so important in that secret place. Isaiah 55, 2 and 3 says, "Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Let your soul delight in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live." And Jesus said many times, "He who has an ear, let him hear." So hear is one of the most important words in the whole Bible. We must have times of silence before him. And in that stillness and silence, we know God. And the parable of the five wise and the five foolish maidens waiting for the wedding of the bridegroom, those five foolish maidens who didn't fill their lamps with oil, the oil represents Holy Spirit, so they had neglected their heart response to Holy Spirit. They had not made time with him. And they didn't have, their lamps went out. Jesus shut the door of the wedding banquet and said, "I do not know you." That is very confronting. So with your Bible open, worship music on, still your thoughts and emotions and just allow God to speak to you. Open up the Bible. It's full. It's your conversational material for your prayer life. And also he speaks to you, obviously. Those words just jump out of the page and he speaks to you. Yeah, so, and when Holy Spirit speaks, it's much more authoritative than your own thoughts. So you know, oh, there's no way I would have thought of that. In the early years of our marriage, we were not tracking together in our spiritual growth. And I was getting a bit irritated with Michael's slowness. Oh, come on, man, you know, get on. And I was in my secret place, but I was whinging. Come on, God, why can't you stir him up a bit? And then he said to me, whoa, he said, "Michael is a preacher and teacher of the word. He's going to be preaching before hundreds of people and they are going to come up the front in repentance, deep repentance." Guess who was doing the repenting then? Oh, sorry, Lord. I said to him, "Are we talking about the same person?" "No, I don't think so." He said, "Yes, we are." And you know what? What changed everything was once I agreed with what God said about my husband. That's a key for a lot of you here. In those areas of irritation, you go to God. You say, "How do you see my husband? How do you see my wife?" Changes everything. I then aligned my prayer and my attitude. And then years later, it happened. In our previous church, it happened. I was just sitting there, you know. Oh, wow. The Lord reminded me and I was just so, so excited. He'd answered my prayer. He'd fulfilled what he'd promised. Yeah. Now, I really want to emphasize as I close today the words of longing that I heard in Jesus' heart for you guys. Truly, there was an urgency in his voice. He's longing for you. He's got this deep, gut-wrenching desire for each of you. And he's already prepared a place for you to dwell with him because he knows you so well. He knows you far better than you know yourself. He's a jealous lover. So will you respond to his desire for you today and make a decision to find a quiet place, shut out distractions, turn off your mobile, get your Bible out? Will you let him speak? Will you listen?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realise that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.